I'm a big proponent, I guess, of taking highlights from the show and compiling them all at the beginning as sort of a 30 to 60 second highlight reel. It does seem to help your engagement a little bit by throwing some teasers out there, and then you can very quickly convert those into shorts that you can upload for YouTube and TikTok or Instagram or Facebook Reels, wherever you want to put them. I have come across so many advisors who have really, really good podcasts and excellent video content on their website, but they have 25, 30, 40 listeners or viewers, and most of those are their current clients. No matter how good your content is, it is a drop of water in the ocean. Billions and billions and billions of videos that are competing for people's attention. So the chances of your podcast standing out, I mean, it's literally a needle in a haystack. Podcasting is conversational best ball. Welcome to the Advisor Advocates Podcast. I am Garrett Lill. I appreciate you being here. If this is your first time checking out the show, really appreciate your time. Hopefully you find this useful. And this is the first solo show that I have done in a little while here. I've had a run here of three or four shows in a row with having guests on, and really appreciate their time and look forward to having more guests in the future here. But while trying to get those shows out, I kind of fell behind on a few topics that I've been meaning to get out, and that are really better as probably just solo acts. Although I really appreciate it and prefer it when there's someone else on the other side of the camera to have a conversation with. It's a little bit weird when it's just me talking to the camera by myself. But the show today is something that I'm really looking forward to. This one, this is going to be a very candid episode, kind of showing behind the scenes of how to start a podcast, how to run a podcast. I've had a lot of advisors over the last couple of years that I've talked to that have shown an interest in starting a podcast, or they tell me they want to start a podcast, or a whole lot of people lately that have been reaching out to me asking to be a guest on this podcast or other podcasts. So with there being such an interest from a lot of different advisors on the topic, I thought, why not record a podcast episode about how to start a podcast and what the ins and outs are and just sort of the lessons learned. I didn't get into this intentionally by any means. I started a show as just kind of a hobby and learned a little bit about it, and then started another show and then another show. And then next thing I know, I've kind of developed a little bit of an accidental skill set, I suppose, for this. So I thought I would devote an episode to sharing what I've learned along the way and hopefully help you understand a little bit more about your next steps if you do want to start a podcast. Now, I will say well in advance here, if you do stick around to the end of this episode, I am 100% going to shamelessly self-promote a new service that I'm offering to advisors. So if you are an advisor who would like to have your own podcast, but you find throughout this episode that maybe it's a little bit more work than you want to take on, or you just don't have the time, or you just don't have the interest in trying to learn some of these little nuances, I will say in advance that is part of the underlying ulterior motive behind this episode, is to kind of spotlight all the nuances of what goes into it, and to be able to maybe further highlight why that service makes a lot of sense. Because what I'm basically going to do in this episode is tell you everything that you need to know how to do. And then at the end of the episode, I'm going to tell you what my offer is to do it for you if you are an advisor who wants a simple solution to have your own podcast. So listener beware, viewer beware, whatever you want to call it. But there is a solution at the end that I want to try to explain. So if you want a shortcut to the end of the episode, by all means. Otherwise, let's get into how to start a podcast. One of the simplest steps in the process may seem almost frustratingly simple, but it can actually be one of the more challenging things to do, and that is settling on your branding, your show concept, all of these little details that aren't necessarily what financial advisors are typically best known for enjoying. It's not maybe necessarily that we don't have the skill set for it, we just don't, we're analytics. We like getting into numbers, we like talking to people, getting into marketing and creativity and that kind of thing is not usually up our alley necessarily. But it is a very important part. You need to know what the title of the show is going to be. And that is important because that's what's going to help new listeners decide if they want to listen to it or not. General tips on that are going to be, you don't want it to be incredibly long. You want it to be pretty straightforward and explain what you're actually listening to. If you have to explain the meaning behind the title of your show, there's a very good chance that people aren't going to listen to it because they don't know what it's about. So it needs to be creative and catchy, but it also needs to get the point across of what the show is about and why a potential listener should devote 30 minutes of their time to hearing what you have to say. Once you've settled on the title of the show, you're also going to need to do things like design graphics and cover art and logos and things like that for the show. And you're also going to need to decide on a format. Are you going to just be talking by yourself like I am right now? Are you going to have a co-host? Are you going to bring a rotation of guests on? Are you going to have a co-host and also invite occasional guests on? What is the format going to look like? And I will just kind of share from my experience on it. I mean, I have thoroughly enjoyed having a co-host or co-hosts or at least a guest on most of my episodes, because it is very awkward sitting here in a room by yourself talking to a camera without somebody on the other side to sort of hit the ball back to you, so to speak. So I do encourage you to have a co-host or at least someone else to talk to in the episodes. But certainly there are podcasts out there, successful podcasts out there, that are solo acts, and you certainly can do that. But whatever the title of the show, whatever the format, whatever the cover art, whatever the graphics, you need to figure out how to get the listeners or the potential listeners' attention, because podcasting is becoming more and more and more popular. The market of podcasts is becoming more and more saturated. So if you want to stand out and get people's attention and keep their attention, you're going to have something to have a knack or some way of getting through to that potential listener and standing out in the crowd, so to speak. But again, not doing it in a confusing or complicated kind of way. So once you know your theme and you have your graphics and you have all of these things set, the next step in the process is going to be recording. Now, I will say before we fully transition away from the branding that there have been a lot of shows that I did not necessarily know the titles for. I didn't necessarily know what the graphics were going to look like until I had recorded a few episodes. Sometimes recording might be a good first step. In fact, I encourage people a lot of times to just record some content and don't be in a huge rush to get it out, because sometimes in the recording of those first few shows, you will start to stumble on your branding a little bit and you'll start to sort of find your voice, as they might say. So these don't necessarily have to go in exactly this sequential order, although you know there are some parts of this process that are going to be a little bit of a linear progression. Don't be surprised necessarily if you get 2, 3, 4 shows into recording and then you kind of stumble on, oh, that's a better title for my show, or ooh, this is something I want to do different with the theme. The branding can be a little bit of an evolving sort of fluid process. But at some point, you're going to have to record some content. One of the questions that I get a lot is what kind of equipment I use for this. And my answer is always that I've spent hundreds, maybe pushing $1,000, trying to find equipment that had higher quality video and audio than what I could record on my iPhone. So the reality is that's what I use, my iPhone. If you're watching this on YouTube, this video is being recorded from my iPhone. The audio, I'm actually pulling in from 3 different sources. So I have my AirPods in, that's connected to the device that I'm recording on. I also have another old iPhone sitting about 6 inches over my left shoulder here. And then also a $300 microphone that I bought specifically for podcasting that I am also recording on. But the difference in quality from one sound source to the other is pretty negligible. For example, this is the audio that I'm recording from my AirPods. This is the audio that's being recorded from the old iPhone that's laying on the desk. And this is the audio that is being picked up from the $300 microphone. So there's not a huge difference in the quality. And a lot of times what I'm doing in the episodes is actually overlaying the audio of a couple of different sources to kind of help smooth out some of the background noise. But there's really not a need to go spend, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars on video equipment and microphones, because the quality is pretty decent just from what you can get on your iPhone. I did look this up at one point to kind of see what the best equipment is for videoing and for podcasting, and I believe the review that I saw, and I believe this has been true from my experience, essentially the whatever camera and microphone is in your smartphone usually would rank about second or third if it were standalone as far as video and audio quality for microphone and video equipment. So simple solution is to just record on your phone. Now, the challenging part of recording is not necessarily the capturing of the recording itself. That's actually, you know, like I said, pretty easy with your phone. The challenge can be the dialogue itself, especially if you are by yourself recording solo in a room by yourself like I am right now. That can be a little bit awkward and strange the first few times that you're doing it. If you do have somebody on the other side, it's just a little bit more natural. It flows a little bit more easily. I like to use the term, it's podcasting is conversational best ball. You have a conversation and you get to kind of take out the parts that didn't sound right. There's a lot of things that, you know, you'll hear me say that I may have said 2, 3, 4 times in a row before I finally got it to sound the way I wanted to. So I try to just very naturally have a conversation or talk to myself as I'm doing right now. And then you go back at the end of it and you sort of cherry pick the parts that sounded the best. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm sitting here repeating every single phrase 5 times. I'm, for the most part, just having a conversation with someone else or in a room by myself, and then just going back and kind of figuring out what sounds the best. And most of it does end up in the final episode. I would say is a pretty decent ratio. I probably record about 45 minutes for every 30 minutes of final cut footage. So it's not like I'm sitting here and recording for 4 hours to get 30 minutes, but there's a lot of repetitions and a lot of edits and little, you know, taking out the ums and the okay and the so's and all those little filler words. But you also have to balance that in the editing process so that your video doesn't end up being too choppy. I do, you know, I encourage people to be natural in the final cut of what's coming out as well. So the recording can be a little bit challenging. I do encourage you to have an outline of what you're going to say and sort of have bullet points or talking points, I suppose, prepared so you're not just winging it on the recording. Just for the sake of time, I think that makes it flow a lot, you know, makes it go a lot faster and run a lot smoother. But I do not have a script. Some people will say, you know, type out your script ahead of time and there's software that you can essentially load that up in advance in the recording software, and it will spit it out in front of you like a teleprompter might would. I don't do that because for me personally, I guess I'm a better talker than I am reader. I've never been great at reading out loud. I'll kind of stumble on my words a little bit. So if I start reading something verbatim, you tend to be able to notice that I'm reading something, where I may just have a general idea of what I want to say, and I may say it 4 or 5 different times before I finally figure out exactly which version of it sounds the best. Then you're going to go to the editing process. Now, I don't really know if what I'm going to say next necessarily counts under the recording side or the editing side. They kind of go together in a way. But you can record audio on your phone and then upload it directly to your computer and then import that into the editing software, clean it up, do what you need to do. You also can use a cloud-based recording software, and then once it's finished, you just go into the computer that you're going to edit with and then download it straight from the cloud. I use that. I use a service called Riverside. I think there are several of these types of companies out there now that will do this cloud-based recording. Riverside acts a lot like Zoom, but with a little bit higher video and audio quality for podcasters. If you notice the shows that I've got remote guests, it would be an incredibly difficult process to have a remote guest on if I wasn't using some type of a cloud-based recording software. But even for a show like this that I'm recording solo, I'm still in my Riverside app right now recording it because it just saves me one step in the process rather than having to upload the file from my phone to some other cloud storage like G Drive or something like that. I can just take it straight from the same software that I recorded on. So that's not a necessary step, but it is, to me, it just cuts out one more step in the process. And each time you upload or download something, I have been told that that can diminish the quality of the video or the audio somewhat. So the fewer times you can have to upload or download, the better. Now, editing can be, there's a lot of different ways you can tackle the editing. I use Adobe Premiere Pro. I've been told by several people that you do not have to use Adobe Premiere Pro, that there are a lot of simpler editing softwares out there. I know that there is a Premiere Rush from Adobe, which is a little bit of a scaled down version that I have been told would certainly work for the type of editing that I'm doing. I will tell you that Adobe Premiere Pro is a monster. It is sort of to video editing, I think, what HubSpot is to marketing and CRM. It gives you thousands and thousands of tools and things that someone like me doesn't really need. But because I kind of cut my teeth and only knew Adobe Premiere Pro when I started doing this, it's actually easier for me to do that than it is to learn a simpler editing software. So you don't have to use Premiere Pro. There are a lot of apps out there that you can use. But the editing process is definitely going to be the most challenging part of all of this, because that's where you take your 45 minutes of footage or your hour of raw recording and you turn it into the final product. That's where you're going to add your graphics. That's where you're going to add your theme music. I'm a big advocate or proponent, I guess, of taking highlights from the show and compiling them all at the beginning as sort of a 30 to 60 second highlight reel to open the show. In fact, if you're listening to this show and have followed along some of the other episodes, I'd actually gotten away from that in the beginning of the Advisor Advocates podcast. And I just, in the last couple of episodes, kind of remembered that that was kind of dumb and decided to go back to that. So that 30 to 60 second highlight at the intro does seem to help your engagement a little bit by throwing some teasers out there and letting the viewer know what to expect. And they also are very convenient to have because then you can very quickly convert those into shorts that you can upload for YouTube and TikTok or Instagram or Facebook Reels, wherever you want to put them. So you can sort of multi-purpose your work there and be able to get a lot of uses and a lot of different, a lot of functionality from those little intros. Not a requirement by any means. There are plenty of shows out there that have, a static intro. Again, as a reference, go back to the first several episodes of the Advisor Advocates podcast. Definitely not a stone cold truth, just a personal preference. And I will say on the editing that there are AI programs that can do that for you. Riverside being an example of that. I am, maybe it's just my pride. Maybe it's I'm a control freak. I don't know what exactly it is, but I don't like to lean on the AI because I feel like I still have to go back and make sure that it worked. And if I'm having to go back and really, comb through the work of the AI that the AI did with a fine tooth comb, then, what's the point in using it in the first place? But there are some things where you can take the final video, record it, and tell AI to produce a 30-minute video of it, and it will do all the editing for you. It will remove the background noise, it will remove the filler words, and leave a pretty decent final product. You can have it spit out highlight reels for you, which can be a time saver as well. You can do all of your editing and then upload it to Riverside and say, give me a 3-minute highlight clip, give me a 60-second highlight clip, and it'll go through and do that for you. And it's a pretty decent final product that you'll get. So it's sort of up to you how involved you want to be in the editing process. To me, if I'm going to put something out there with my signature on it, I do want to make sure that I have ownership of that process. So I don't lean very heavily on AI, but it is an option I want to make sure that you know about. And in the recording process, don't be discouraged if you finish recording and you kind of feel like, man, that was a dud. That was a terrible episode. You have no idea how many times I have finished recording and thought to myself, I'm going to have to do that entire thing over again. That was horrible. Usually, in fact, I think every time I've thought that, once I go back through the editing and I play that conversational best ball and I get rid of all the ums and I get rid of all the filler words and I get rid of all of my goof-ups, I may end up having a little bit more time on the editing process for those bad shows, but it still comes out as a pretty decent final product. So don't be terribly discouraged until you've gone through the editing process. I will say in the very, very beginning of doing this, there were some projects that I had to completely reshoot. I'd gotten off topic and I really didn't have any type of an overarching theme to the entire video or the entire episode. That does happen. I think that's where it makes a lot of sense to have sort of a talking points agenda ahead of time before you record on it. I know what I'm going to talk about ahead of time so I don't end up too far off in left field. That's just, again, something I kind of learned along the way from it. But for the most part, when you finish recording, you may not necessarily feel like you did a very good job, but that's why we have an edit button. And it definitely does help a lot in getting the final product out. It does end up being a lot better than you think a lot of times. The technical side of podcasting is probably where you're going to have the biggest learning curve, okay? Figuring out how to take a video and get it out to the world. It is not a difficult thing at all. Kind of like everything else that I've learned with technology, it usually takes me weeks and weeks of time to research how to do something that once I finally find the answer, it's something that takes 5 seconds. So podcasting is the same way. It's not that challenging once you know what to do. There are multiple platforms that you can host your podcast on. You can host it, for example, at Spotify. You can host it at Apple. You can host it on Podbean, for example. There are a lot of different places that will sort of house the actual feed itself. You can also host it on your own website, and there are some advantages to that that I'll get to in just a second. So if you use a third-party hosting platform, basically what you're going to do is upload the final audio, the final cut, to that hosting provider's platform, and you're going to write a description, and you're going to answer some questions, check some boxes, and you're going to hit publish, and boom, it's out there. And those third-party platforms are going to make sure that everything is buttoned up and everything's done properly so that you can't hit the publish button until it's ready to go. And once you hit that button, it's out to the world and you've got everything you need. The other thing that you can do is host it yourself on your own website or create your own website for the podcast so that you can house your own RSS feed there. Now, some of those providers will automatically push your podcast out to multiple platforms. I think Podbean's pretty good for this, actually, that when you publish your show to Podbean, it's going to automatically send it out to Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, Amazon Music, all of the major providers. Or you may have to do that manually yourself, and that's a very simple one-time process of just copying your RSS feed, creating an account with Amazon Music, pasting your RSS feed in there and saying you want to put your podcast on that platform, and now it's there forever. And anytime you put out a new show on your primary platform, you know, wherever you're actually hosting your show from, that will automatically push the new episodes out to all of the different ones that you've registered it with. One other thing that I've learned about this process, though, is that because an RSS feed is public, there are a lot of podcast networks that are pulling your podcast automatically because it's just going out and scanning the universe for podcasts and compiling as many as they can into their platform as possible. So I've learned over the last several weeks that all of my shows are on a whole lot of platforms that I didn't even know were out there. So, and that's a good thing for you as the podcaster. That means that it's going out to the world and you're getting it out to a lot of people even without you having to do that. So there's a good chance that your podcast is going to get on a lot of platforms regardless. But you are going to want to make sure that it's at least on the major players, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. And then for YouTube, if you do want to have video, which I highly encourage you to do video, you're just going to have that final cut of the video, create a YouTube channel, upload the video. It usually takes 10-15 minutes for it to upload. Same process there. Write a description, answer their questions, hit publish. If you are new to YouTubing, I could probably do a whole different episode on the nuances of YouTube. This is a little bit more focused specifically on podcasting, but creating a YouTube channel is something that takes 10-15 minutes. It's not a terribly complicated process, and then uploading a video, again, same thing. It might take you a few hours to find the answers to your questions, but what you'll find is that the actual execution of starting a YouTube channel and uploading videos is very simple and can be taken care of pretty quickly. Again, one of the challenges behind that is going to be coming up with your cover banner and your artwork and your graphics and all that kind of stuff for your channel. But again, that's a one-time proposition. Doesn't take a terrible amount of time to figure out. The next step in the process is going to be the distribution and promotion of your podcast. So you've got it out there. It's available for the world to find. The problem, from my experience, that advisors run into most commonly in this process is the actual promotion, because I have come across so many advisors who have really, really good podcasts, really, really good YouTube videos, and excellent video content on their website, but they have 25, 30, 40 listeners or viewers, and most of those are their current clients. So this is the problem that I've ran into a lot with advisors, and it's also something that I've personally experienced. As advisors, we tend to be pretty confident in our work, and we get the work out there, and we get the video out there, and we think, man, this is great information. The people are going to love this. And then we sort of rely on the internet to take it viral. No matter how good your content is, it is a drop of water in the ocean compared to what else is out there. There are billions and billions and billions of videos and things out there that are competing for people's attention. So the chances of your podcast standing out, I mean, it's literally a needle in a haystack of content. So you have to do something to help get it out. And there are some simple sort of old school tricks to that. Yeah. You've got your prospecting list, you've got your email marketing list. Emailing the podcast out to those people is a great start. But there's also going to need to be some type of a paid promotion behind that, whether that's creating Facebook ads, Instagram ads, Google ads, YouTube video ads. There's a lot of different things that you can do that is very cost effective. I don't have the exact numbers on this in front of me right this second, but I want to say at one point I was running video campaigns that if you looked at the amount of hours that were watched and divided the amount of hours was watched by the cost, I was paying something like 57 cents per watch hour to get people to watch these video ads of the different shows that I was promoting. So it's very cost effective to get the ads out there. It's just injecting another step to the process that you're going to need to learn. You're going to need to learn how to create a Facebook Ads account or a Google Ads account, how to use the Google Ads account or the Facebook Ads account. There's just another step in the process that you have to learn. But if you have a good show and you want to try to get it out there, it's very cost effective to get eyeballs on it as long as you know how to do that. And then you're just promoting the podcast and you're telling Google or Facebook or whoever, you know, this is my audience, this is where they're located, these are their interests. Go out and find people like that that are searching for podcasts from financial advisors on financial topics and put it out there to them, and they will find it. And then some of them will subscribe, and you start to build and grow your audience that way. But that is the part of the process that most advisors skip. They tend to create the content, put it out there, tell their friends, and expect it to go viral. And again, not picking on anybody out there, because it's exactly what I did, you know, first several attempts of podcasting and YouTubing. So you just have to remember that it's very difficult to stand out in this very crowded content world that we're living in. So you're probably going to spend a little bit of money to grow your audience. But again, a little bit of money goes a long way in the digital marketing age, because it's you're not paying a lot of money for clicks. You can, you know, get people listening to your show for 50 cents, a dollar, and then if it is a good show, then they're going to come back and they're going to subscribe and they're going to become active members of your audience. Now, the really cool thing about digital marketing in general, and podcasting is certainly an example of that, are the analytics tracking, because it, now as advisors, we get to tap back into our analytical brains. Now, there's some good news and bad news on the analytics. With podcasting, I found it very difficult to compile accurate data on how much engagement and consumption there is for your podcast. And there's a pretty simple technical reason for that, and that is that podcasts go out there and your goal is to get people to download the podcast. Well, once they download it to their device, you don't know what they did with it. So you don't necessarily know, did they download it and listen to it 87 times, or did they download it and never open it a single time after they downloaded it? But the other side of this is you can go to each provider themselves and see some level of analytics tracking. So for example, if your show's on Apple Podcasts, you can create an account to track your analytics from Apple Podcasts, and it will tell you of the, you know, how many times their users downloaded your show, how long they listened, how engaged they were, how active they were, how many subscribers you have on their platform. But that's not going to take into account any of the downloads from Spotify. So you have to have sort of an account with each platform. Well, if you go back to where I said a minute ago, there's a lot of platforms out there that are pulling your show that you may not even necessarily know about, and you don't have any way of logging in to see how actively engaged that audience was. And I'll give you an example, because I Googled one of my shows a while back, and I found a platform that it was on, and I went to listen to it, and sure enough, there was like a video ad I had to listen to before I could even get to my own show. So your show's going to be out there in a lot of different places, and you're not necessarily going to know how many times it was listened to at the global level. But going back to that distribution and the technical side of it, if you do start your own website for the show and on your own RSS feed, your RSS feed will be able to be tracked so you can see how many total people are subscribed. So one of my shows, for example, has, you know, 1,500 or 2,000 subscribers, but if I go to Apple, it says I've got 48 listeners. If I go to Spotify, it says I've got 27 listeners. If I go to YouTube, it says I've got 13. So I don't necessarily know where all these listeners are or where all these subscribers are, but all these metrics do give you at least something to track your progress over time. So you can see, okay, I started with 27 Apple subscribers and now I've got 113, and I started with 24 on Spotify and now I've got 512, and I started with 2,000 global listeners and now I've got 25,000 global listeners. So at least you can sort of spot trends in that data. If you have your own website hosting it, you can also track the engagement through Google Analytics to tell you how long people stayed on your website and which pages they clicked on and which episodes they listened to. So there's a lot of things that you can do on the analytics side to help if you have a guru that knows how to help you do that, or if you have the technical expertise to set up your own Google Analytics account. So there are a lot of different ways that you can sort of track your growth over time, but it is pretty challenging to aggregate all that for podcasting. Now, YouTube is totally different. YouTube is ran by Google. Everything is uploaded and housed on their website. So when you upload a video to YouTube, you can see exactly how many times it was watched, exactly how long each viewer watched, where they dropped off, what the engagement rates were, what the click-through rate was. YouTube has a mountain of analytical data that you can use to sort of see how your shows are stacking up. So it's really interesting on their polar opposite sides of the coin there, right? You've got all the data in the world that you want on your videos. Your data on the audio is a little bit spread out and difficult to track, but it's out there, and it is something that you're going to want to do to be able to see, are your marketing efforts actually effective, and is your show growing? And if not, what are we doing wrong, and how can we make it better? Now, finally, I said that I was going to shamelessly self-promote at the end of this, so this is the part where we do that. I know this is a lot, and if you are brand new to this and you've never looked into podcasting before, then yeah, that's a lot. And it's going to take a long time to figure out how to do all these little things. You're probably going to make some mistakes. You're going to hit some roadblocks, and you're going to have to spend hours trying to figure out how to fix it. And it, you know, I did not just wake up one day with this information. This is something that I have been chipping away at and just gradually learning over 7-8 years now. So I've created a solution. Because I have sort of learned how to do this, I've created a process or a solution for advisors who want to get their podcasts out, where I can do everything from start to finish for you. All I need you to do is record the content, approve the final cut for compliance, and then I give you a way to promote the content on the back end of that. I'll put a link to this website in the description here so you can explore it for yourself. But here's the Cliff Notes version. If you would like to work with me on starting your own podcast, we will spend a little bit of time getting to know each other, kind of talking through the theme for your show. I can help you coming up with the title, and we can kind of brainstorm some ideas for that. I can create the cover art and all of the graphics and all that kind of stuff that you're going to need for you, and then give you access to my Riverside account and sit in as your producer, ride shotgun with you during the recording process. Then I can download that from my Riverside account, do all the editing work for you, send it to you for final approval. Once you get back to me or run that through your compliance process, or your, you know, send it to your compliance department for approval and it's been green lighted, you send it back to me and I publish it on my network, which is called Wealth Partners. And if you want to check out the website, the link will be in the description as well, but that's wealthpartners.io if you'd like to check out some of the other shows that I've put out for other advisors. And that gives me the ability to also help you with the distribution and the promotion, because I have this one, you know, sort of central hub for financial content where a lot of people are coming to Wealth Partners to check out the shows of other advisors, and I'm doing a lot of promotions to get people on that website. So you're going to get some organic traffic for your shows just from being on that network. But if you would like to promote those shows, this is one of the really cool sort of secret sauces behind this. I don't have to charge you or mark up the cost of creating the ads for that, because it's getting exposure to the website and to my network when you promote your own shows. So if you do it, if you put out a show that you really like, or if you want to consistently promote your content, we can sit down and sort of come up with a strategy for that, learn a little bit about your target market, who you want to target, what the age group is, what the location is, and I can create those ads for you, run them to promote your shows. And the win-win from that is I get the ears and eyeballs on my network, but they're going to be specifically in your market to promote your show. So you're getting organic traffic from other visitors to the site, but then you can also pay to promote your own content within that ecosystem. And I don't need to mark that up. So if you tell me you want to spend $1,000, I will create a $1,000 budget, run exactly $1,000 worth of advertising for it, and do all of the setup work and all that for you without charging anything for that service, because I'm benefiting from getting eyeballs on the website and growing my own audience. So if you are interested in starting a podcast, but it feels like it's a little bit overwhelming, this is a solution that I've created to offer sort of the turnkey podcasting for financial advisors, where we take care of everything from show design and concept, recording, editing, and then the distribution side. All we need you to do is record, approve, and then promote if you would like. Questions that I get on this a lot are, who owns the content? Well, it's actually sort of a co-op ownership, I suppose you would say, in the sense that for copyright purposes, so I can promote it, what's on my website is technically owned by Wealth Partners. However, I send you the copies of everything so that you can put it on your own site as well. So I'm not trying to steal your content or take your creative capital from you. It's just that if I try to go out and create ads for content that I don't own, Google yells at me for that. So for the purposes of promoting it on my network, yes, I do own what's on my website, but you also have copies that you can use for yourself. And I strongly encourage everyone on my network to promote their own shows as well. You know, send it out to your folks, put it on your website, put it on your YouTube channels, have your own YouTube channel if you'd like. And I can, you know, kind of work with you on setting that up properly and making sure it's working. So I strongly encourage that. And then the other obvious question is, how much does this cost? I charge a $499 setup fee to sit down with you and the show design, doing all the graphic work and all the cover art stuff and all that, all the branding work that needs to be done. And then if you want to do a monthly show, it's $399 a month. If you want to do a bi-weekly show, it's $499 a month. And if you want to do a weekly show, it's $599 a month. So when you compare that to the time cost of doing all this stuff yourself, the feedback that I've gotten from advisors is that they find a lot of value in all that I'm able to do for that service. So if you would like to start a podcast, but this seems to be a little bit too much for you, happy to help. If you'd like to chat about that, you can give me a call directly at 919-561-2436. You can also go to the Advisor Advocates website and schedule an appointment at your own convenience. Shoot me an email to garrett@theadvisoradvocates.com and look forward to chatting with you if I can help. Regardless, I appreciate you taking the time to listen to this episode. Hope you enjoyed it. Thanks for watching. If you're on YouTube, hope you found it useful, and talk to you soon.